hippos will go into the river to cool themselves down in hot weather. These would have stood out much more when this object was sort of, when it was made. All of the color and all the decoration has faded over time, possibly from where it was deposited in the tomb, so there's been some interaction with the earth, which has eroded the surface. Because it would have been a really, really bright blue, or blue-green material with the black lotuses around the surface. And that's important. That's an important clue to understanding this object. If you look around then the rest of the Egyptian section of the displays, you'll see a lot more of this blue-green material around, because it was a really popular and widespread material that the Egyptians used. It's known today in English rather awkwardly by the name faience. Now, faience comes from the name of a city in Italy, Faenza, and Faenza is where the pottery that we know as majolica, or faience, was made. So when European travelers first started to see these kinds of objects coming out of Egypt, as early as the 17th century, and they associated it with that tin-glazed pottery from faience, and we're stuck with the name today, but it's not a really accurate name. To the Egyptians, it was called shehenet, which means something dazzling, bright and shiny, and it's the same word in ancient Egyptian for stones like turquoise and lapis lazuli. So there's a connection between something that's shiny and something that's blue and brilliant and highly desirable. So basically, we're looking at an Egyptian sort of imitation of precious stone. And it's related to the way that you would make glass. So it's an early form of glass technology. There's no clay in it, so it's not a ceramic, it's not an earthenware, it's nothing like that. It's made out of silica, just like glass is, but it doesn't have enough other components, specifically like soda and lime, to fuse the silica and make glass. Instead, it just has small bits of soda, so some kind of plant ash, and possibly a bit of lime, like crushed limestone, and then the silica, which comes from quartz, so crushed quartz pebbles, or sand, like sand that's rich in quartz. So all of these things, in some form, probably, you know, a dry form of some kind, get mixed together with a copper oxide, which is also probably in a dry form. We don't know exactly what components, though. Somehow it had to get mushy. It had to become like biscuit dough. I always tell students, think of it as biscuit dough, not cake dough, right? So it's got to be something that you can work with. It kind of is soft and mushy that you can work with somehow, but not as liquid as a clay, for instance, as mushy or wet as a clay. And then that got sort of formed, often using molds, sometimes by hand. So the hippo might have been by hand. I'm not sure. Sometimes I'm not sure, really. So.